imagery of course comes from the Song of Solomon. That's where you read that phrase repeated throughout the book, I am his, I am my beloved's, and my beloved belongs to me, he's mine. And that's a book expressing our tender relationship with Jesus, and the intimate nature of that relationship. And you know, as you consider, I am his, that means that I belong to the Lord. The Bible tells us that Jesus purchased us with his own blood, and that we belong to him, and that he has a right to every part of us. If I belong to the Lord, then he has the right to do with my life whatever he desires to. I don't belong to myself anymore. The Apostle Paul told us, don't you realize you're not your own? You've been bought with a price. And so glorify God with your body, soul, and spirit, which are his. Which every once in a while, the Lord will begin to deal with us about something in our life, and he'll say, I'd like to change that. I'd like to do something there. And we need to realize, well, he has the right to do that because we belong to him. He paid a great price for our redemption. And so, we say yes to him. Now, I find that when we consecrate ourselves to Jesus, he takes that very seriously. I was so glad the other night to see so many young people gathered around this podium. They're really calling upon God. And they came to give themselves to Jesus. Now, I don't think that's the first time they ever did that. And it may not be the last time they ever did it. Sometimes it's good for us to do that often. As God tugs upon our hearts, we say, Lord, I just want to be all on the altar. I want to be fully given to you. Sometimes we need to renew that in our teenage years. We give ourselves to Jesus when we're children. But then as we get older, there are new challenges that come into our life and new temptations and maybe new struggles. We need to renew that consecration. Lord, now that I'm in my teenage years, I want you to know that it's the same. As far as I'm concerned, I belong to Jesus. And I give myself fully to you. And we need to do that throughout our lives. But what we're saying to the Lord is, you have the right to do with my life whatever you desire because I belong to you. You have the right to every part of me. But then when you turn it around, there's something very precious in the thought that, and he belongs to me. All that Jesus is, I can claim, I can know, I can have in my life. He doesn't hold back anything from me of himself. But when we give ourselves fully to God, and when we can truly say, Lord, I belong to you, then we can also say, and Lord, you belong to me. And what an exchange that is. To exchange our lives, to give him ourselves so that we might receive himself in all of his fullness. And we can read the Bible differently. Every time we read a promise, we can say, no, that belongs to me because I belong to him and he's mine. And so that's for me. All that Jesus is, all that he has promised, we can claim. And as we claim his promises and as we seek him with a whole heart, we experience more and more of him. And so as we sing this last verse, let's sing it with that understanding. Lord, I'm yours. But also, Lord, your mind. And that is wonderful. So let's sing it.
His forever holy
given to us in the Bible, the lifting up of our hands as the evening sacrifice. And God wants us to worship Him with our bodies. And so He shows us how to do that. We can clap our hands. We can lift our hands. We can stand to our feet. As God manifests His presence, people have fallen prostrate before Him. And these are ways in which we glorify God with our body, soul, and spirit. Praise God. So don't be afraid if you are inclined to, as you're worshiping the Lord, to just lift your hands and offer yourself to Jesus and draw from Him all that you need to be all that He wants you to be. Amen.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever.
Children, and my older brother has a Korean boy as well. So now we're Italian, Hungarian, Korean, and a lot of other things. Amen. But the thing that we want most of all is we all want to be Christian. And so we want to dedicate our children and our lives to the Lord, that He might grant us grace to serve Him all the days of our life. I'd like to read one verse and then please read together the next in unison. And we'll read the last together, whoever gets there first. Doesn't matter, we'll read it together, okay? Number 4, children. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?"
And Jesus called a little child unto Him.
And said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me.
But whoso shall bring one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea."
And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them.
But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God.
Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein."
and he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them.
Amen. Those readings come from Matthew 18 and Mark chapter 10. Praise God. We read a number of places in the Gospels that parents brought their children to Jesus. One place it says they brought their infants to him, that he might lay his hand upon them and bless them. I wonder what Jesus did for those babies when he laid his hands upon them. I often pray, Lord, lay your hand upon my children and impart that blessing that you can impart to a little baby. I'm sure that blessing has something to do with inclining their heart toward God, so that as they get older, that there'll be an inclination toward the things of God instead of the things of the world. We need to believe for that. The world is all around us, but we need something on the inside that causes us to reach out and develop an interest and a hunger for the things of Christ. And as they are taught the Word of God and they hear the wonderful gospel story of Jesus' love and his dying for them on Calvary, the Lord can make those stories very precious, those truths very precious to children. And he can put a love into their hearts for Jesus. He can make them to know the love of Christ, that somehow as a little child, they know that God loves them. They know that Jesus died for them. And they know that he has a place in heaven for them. And of course, as they grow older, their understanding will develop as they get into the Word of God and give themselves to Christ. Every child has to come to a place somewhere along the way in their life where they surrender themselves to Jesus and own him as their own Lord and Savior. No one is born a Christian. Even if you're born in a Christian home, you still have to find the Lord when you come of age. Now, what age that is, only the Lord really knows. You can't put an age on everyone and say, this is the age of accountability. God knows the heart. Certainly we know that children are very precious to the Lord. And that the Bible says that his angels are always watching them. And so, as a child, we know that God receives them. And as we get older, then we have to give ourselves to God of our own will. That's why we don't baptize children. The Bible teaches us that we must believe and be baptized. And of course, a child is too young to believe or understand. But we do what Joseph and Mary did with Jesus. They brought him to the temple, and they dedicated him to the Lord. They thanked the Lord for giving, entrusting him to their care, and then they sought God for the grace and the wisdom that they needed to raise that child for God, and to live for God, and to find his will, and to do his will. I just like to read something from Psalm 127. Except or lest the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now here when he's talking about the house, he's not talking about some building made of brick or stone or wood. He's talking about our household. He's talking about our lives. And he says we have to allow the Lord to build our lives. If we don't include the Lord and we don't give him the place that he deserves, then we're really building in vain. We're not really getting anywhere. We're wasting our time. We're missing that which is most important in life. And so we have to invite the Lord to come and give him that place to build our lives as he would have them to be. We can cooperate with him by building upon the solid rock, by building our lives upon the Word of God. And as we take God's word into our lives and we seek for grace to obey and we seek to honor Jesus as our Lord and do his will, then we find that it's God is very much involved in building our lives and fashioning them after his will. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. We need the Lord to watch over our families, watch over our lives. There are so many evils and dangers and pitfalls that we're not even capable of discerning. But the Lord, he knows every one of them. And we need to trust God to keep us. Keep us true to him. Keep us walking in his way. Keep us faithful in seeking him and serving him. And then it says, it's vain. It's a waste of time for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep. So you're wasting your time to worry about your life and try to make your own decisions. Get up early so you can try to figure it out. Stay up late and worrying and having anxious care about your life, about your family. Worry never gets you anywhere. But if you learn to commit your lives to the Lord and you allow God to work in your family, then you can rest at night. Just commit everyone to him. Lord, we commit ourselves to you for your keeping, for your protection, for your guidance. And then we can sleep. He gives his beloved sleep. Now I like this. It says, children, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. That's the attitude God wants us to have toward children. They're a blessing from God. So many people look at their children as an inconvenience, a mistake, a problem. But that's not the attitude that God has toward them, nor we should. Children are a blessing from God. It's a gift that God has entrusted to us. And it's an expression of his reward. It's the blessing of God upon our lives, and we thank him for each and every one of them. And they're all so different. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. Whenever I read that word quiver, I start to quiver when I think of awesome responsibility of caring for these children. But he says, you know, they're like arrows in your hand. The influence of your life as a Christian parent can reach much further through the lives of your children if we train them for God. We have God's call over our life, and we do God's will by his grace. But you know, when you invest into these lives, pour the word of God into them, you pour prayer into their lives, you commit them to the Lord every day and to the covering of his blood. As God gets hold of these children and they find their place in God, the work of the kingdom goes that much further. Yeah. And we need to see that God has given us these children for him and for his kingdom. And so I must invest in them, because who knows what God's going to do with their lives and who they're going to reach and how far their influence is going to go. I wonder if Billy Graham's parents ever realized what God was going to do with that boy. And there are so many others that we think of that God has used in such a mighty way to touch so many lives. And you couldn't tell that as they were children. But they raised them for the Lord. They prayed for them. And God got a hold of them. And God had great things in store for them and for his glory. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. But they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, 369.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. When my son-in-law and my daughter adopted Asian children, and then we got them these little bundles of joy, it was so delightful. When I was working in high school, a lot of Asian students came in, Chinese and others. And one thing I admired about them, they were so respectful. And they were the ones that would stay after school and study and get involved. I hope I'm speaking about all of you now. And when we come to camp, they're such a delight. They're well-mannered and well-behaved. And I compare them to our children sometimes, the American children. I don't see those qualities all the time. So it's really delightful to have them brought into our family. I remember when little Lee came in, he was such a little treasure to us. And then when little Lucy came in, I thought, oh, I'm going to get a girl with a little gentle nature. Well, someday she'll kiss me and someday she'll poke me in the eye because I'm disturbing her for some reason. But we love them. And when little Luke came into our life, this little bundle of joy, it's so delightful. It's so wonderful. Now, we've had grandchildren that are 25 years old now. I mean, sons and daughters that are 25. And their grandchildren are 25. And who would think that at our age we'd have a bunch of new grandchildren? And it's such a delight. And their mom and dad are trying to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And as Kenny quoted before, children are the heritage of the Lord. And I looked that up in the dictionary. And it said inheritance. And I thought, what in the world are they inheriting from the Lord? And then I looked into my concordance. And they're inheriting all the attributes that God wants to bestow in their life, all the love and kindness and Christianity that God wants to give them. And if they're a gift from God, we have to raise them the way God wants us to raise them. And that's what they're endeavoring to do. My little Lee went to a little nursery school, comes home singing Christian hymns and writing, singing Christian songs and coming home with his little Christian pictures and knowing all about Jesus Christ. And I'm so delighted that they're raising him in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And when little Lou came into our life, just Lucy, well, Lucy, I love little Lucy very much. And I'll go for a kiss sometime and she might punch me in the nose, but still love her. And now we have little Luke. And we just trust that these children will be raised, and I'm sure they will, in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's what we're looking for. That God will raise them up and bless them. It's a pleasure to see little Lee in Sunday school and my daughter and her husband going to church with us. It's such a blessing. And we thank God for that. We thank God for that.
Let's sing this last verse, and as we sing, will they come? God for wisdom and grace for to raise these children as He would have us to. And so I'm going to ask one of the parents to pray, thanking the Lord and dedicating themselves to the Lord and seeking His grace along these lines, and we'll agree with them. Amen.
Father, we're so thankful. We're so blessed that you've given us these three beautiful children. And we know that your hand was on each of them before you even placed them into our lives. Yes. And we feel such a great responsibility to raise them according to your will. And nothing matters more that they grow up knowing Jesus and having Jesus be their everything. And I pray that you'll rededicate us as an entire family and guide us and help us to always be thoughtful of you in every decision we make and everything we do, to have our children grow to love you and know you in a very precious way. And we thank you so much for all of them, and especially our little Luke, who you just sent home. We know your hand was in each one, and we saw your hand and how every door opened, and you brought them home so safely for us, and we thank you for them. And we pray, Lord, please renew us, renew your spirit in us, and help us to never forget this awesome responsibility we have to raise them to know you and to love you. So thank you for them.
Yes. Amen. Praise God. And now we're going to pray for Luke. A real workout. All right. You guys talk. Praise God. Let's lay hands on you and pray for you.
Okay. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that you brought little Luke into our family, Lord, into my daughter's family. Oh God, we just pray that you cover this child with your presence and your love. And we pray that you keep him safe, Lord, and healthy. And above that, Lord, we pray that at an early age he shall learn about you, Lord Jesus, and fall in love with you. Oh God, we just pray that you raise him to love you, Lord, and to want to follow after you. We ask this in your precious name.
Amen. We agree together, Lord. We pray that you'll lay your hand upon this child this day. We pray, Lord, that an anointing shall come upon his life that will guide him in the will of God. And we pray that as he grows, that more and more his heart will embrace the truth of Scripture. We pray, Lord, that he shall find you at an early age, as my father has prayed. We pray that you'll give him a heart that really loves the Lord and loves his will. And we pray, Lord, that you'll cover him with your precious blood. Keep him safe. Keep him well. And keep him, Lord. For yourself, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. And we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Jesus loves me, this I know. Remember them as God puts them upon your heart. Praise God.